Hi, my name is Jackie Marcel, and I serve here at Heights Baptist Church in the Children's Ministry. Thank you so much for joining us today online. If you would like to connect with us, you can go to our Facebook page, you can go to our Instagram, or you can go to our website at heightschurch.org/connect. Thank you for joining us.
You know, when you look out at culture sometimes, it seems like the bad guy always wins. You know, it seems like sometimes the one who does the crime doesn't always do the time. And so when you think about that feeling we may have in our culture today, when we see it going further and further away from God, it's the exact feeling that sometimes the people in the book of Malachi had as well. But you're going to notice in verses 13 through 15 a mistake some of them were making. See, what's happened in the book of Malachi, if you've not been with us, let me just kind of catch you up, is people stopped putting God first in their lives. All right, so they've kind of moved God on down the pecking order. He was no longer first, maybe second, third, fourth in their priorities. And so they stopped in their personal worship with God first. They stopped in their corporate worship of God first. They moved God first out of their marriages. They moved God first out of their giving. And what happens in life, just like in the book of Malachi, in any of our lives, when God's not first, then things are going to begin to unravel. See, if you get God wrong, then everything else is going to be wrong. And so what's happened in Malachi is now the people, the Israelites, have turned and they are started calling what's bad good and what's good bad. And so you see that in verses 13 through 15. You're like, in verses 13 through 15, here's the people that God blesses. It's the evildoers. Through verses 13 through 15, it's like the ones that are doing wrong, those are the ones that God is blessing. Look at verse 15, the conclusion that they reach. And now we call the arrogant blessed. They're saying God prospers the evildoers. And God's letting them escape from what they're doing. But what you're going to see here is this. That when you move God out from first in your life, you can make that mistake of calling what's bad good and what's good bad, and you get those priorities off. But what you're going to see here, Malachi's going to walk us through three groups of people that God blesses. Right? So three groups of people that God blesses. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed by the Lord. Amen? Amen? Okay, right. Okay, so just making sure we're all on the same page this morning. Like, you didn't wake up today and be like, hey, God, a little judgment would be good. Yeah. I mean, just little judgment, right? No, we have a natural desire within us to want to be blessed. And the great news of the Bible is the God of the Bible wants to bless. This is who God is. He's a God who wants to bless his creation and wants to bless his people. But I want you to see specifically three groups that God is going to bless and who he blesses. Number one, first group, those who fear God will be remembered by God. Okay, those who fear God are those who are remembered by God. Those are who he blesses, people he remembers. Now, verses 13 through 15, this is people who have turned away from the Lord, and they said, it's vain to serve the Lord. Look, verse 14, it's vain to serve God. What profit is it? What good is it for us keeping the law? What good is it worshiping the Lord? Because it's just empty, it's useless. But notice in verses 16 through 18, there's a distinct other group that fears God. Verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention, heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. Now you see that phrase right there in verse 16, those who feared the Lord, and understand the word fear and fearing the Lord in Scripture has two different meanings. The first meaning is this: fear him, be afraid of him, right? Jesus tells us in the New Testament, do not worry about those. Do not fear those who can kill body but cannot kill the soul, but fear the one who can kill the body and the soul in hell. So there is a part of us that if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, that you ought to be afraid of God. But then there's also a type of fear that we have as believers in Jesus Christ, where it's not a afraid of, but one in which we give God respect. We're in awe of. We show reverence to. It's some of the songs we just sang this morning, that our hearts, as we think about singing some of those songs as believers in Jesus Christ, that this is amazing grace that I have experienced, that this is awesome things that God has done in our lives. So when we fear the Lord as believers, it's not standing back, cowering in fear, but it's raising our hands and our hearts in praise, saying, thank you for being my God. Thank you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do for me. Thank you for your blessing. Because I want you to notice the people here in verse 16. Notice what they're saying. Those who fear the Lord heard them, paid attention to them. A book of remembrance was written about them. That means this, God knows exactly everything we do. And did you notice the end of verse 16, what they're doing? They're esteeming his name. Right? We don't know what they were saying, but they were elevating the name of God in their conversations. All throughout Malachi, a lot of the Israelites, they're just complaining about God to each other. Man, why ain't God doing this? Why ain't God doing that? He's not blessing us this way. He's wrong this way. He's letting evil get by this way. But you see, this group, they're in discussion and they're worshiping his name. They're esteeming his name. And what does it say? Look at verse 16 and 17 again. Because I don't want you to miss this. This is beautiful. It says, God has a book of remembrance. That means this, God knows exactly everything you do and I do. God knows all about us. Even he knows us better than we know ourselves. And God says, I've remembered you and I hear you and I love you. See, religion and other religions are going to call you to go and to do things in order to be known by their God. Other religions are going to say you have to work your way up to their God. You're going to have to keep certain rules. You're going to have to keep certain festivals. You're going to have to make certain sacrifices. And maybe, 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 if you're moral enough, you're good enough, then that God will pay attention to you. The God of Christianity, the beauty of the gospel is this, that we are fully known by God and we are fully loved by God through his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to be fully known by God and to yet still be fully loved by God. Because see, you can hide things from other people. You can hide all your warts and all your sins and all your problems from others. But we stand exposed before God. Just like Isaiah in Isaiah 6 said, when he came into the temple and he saw the vision of God's holiness. One of my favorite verses in Isaiah 6, Isaiah says this, woe is me, for I am undone. And if you notice anything about the prophets of the Old Testament, their job was to go around and pronounce judgment on others. Woe is you, woe is you, woe is you, woe is you, woe is you. Some of you could sign up for that job and be like, man, I love that. Like, that'd be a kind of fun job. I get to point out everybody else's sin, right? But when Isaiah entered into the presence of God, he says, woe is me. For I'm coming undone. I'm completely exposed in God's presence. I'm a man of unclean lips, he says, dwelling in a people of unclean lips. And God says, Isaiah, I fully know you and I fully love you. And he sent an angel to the altar to take a tong and to take a hot coal and to put it to his lips. And he says, your sin has been atoned for. You've essentially been forgiven. And the beauty of Christianity is this, that God fully knows you and me. And he says, I love you so much. I put all of that sin on my son, Jesus, so your sin can be atoned for. You can be forgiven. It's a blessing to be fully known and to be fully loved by God. See, the ones that are blessed are those who fear the Lord. I love the song, He Knows My Name. Part of the song goes this way. I have a father, he calls me his own. He will never leave me no matter where I go. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. The first blessing of those that are blessed are those who fear God. But second, I want you to notice another group that's blessed. It's those that are spared the wrath of God. So one, it is a group that fears him, but notice the second group that is blessed. It's the one who escapes the wrath of God. Look in verses 1-3. Malachi writes, behold, the day is coming. It's burning like an oven when all the arrogant and evildoers will stumble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But you, verse 2, who fear my name, who worship the Lord, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi is pushing us forward to a day that is still yet to come. This is what we call the day of the Lord. This is where Christ is coming again. This is a moment in history that has not yet happened, that will happen when Christ will visibly return to this earth and he will settle all accounts. It is a day of worship. It is a day of deliverance. It is a day of praise for those of us that believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But it is a day of wrath. It is a day of judgment. It is a day of destruction for those who do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of their life. And I want you to notice in verse 2, that phrase, the Son of Righteousness is coming with healing in its wings. You know, I thought about this week how the sun in the sky brings blessings and curses to us. Yeah, just the sun in the sky brings blessing and curses. Like, we need the sun in the sky for blessings. Like, the sun in the sky gives us light. The sun in the sky gives us warmth. The sun in the sky helps things grow. Like, we need the sun in the sky. That's blessings. But the sun in the sky also at the same time can bring curses and hardships within our lives. See, if you go out for an extended period of time and your skin isn't protected from all the ultraviolet rays coming from the sun, over a period of time, that can affect your body in negative ways. You know, early in our marriage, one of our first beach trips that Sandra and I took, we get there on the beach and set everything up, and she puts on suntan lotion. She hands me over the suntan lotion, and you know, my wife, blonde hair, fair skin, she wears like SPF 90, right? I mean, like, she just can't do the sun. So she hands me, you know, the sunscreen. She's like, here you go, put it on. And I was like, I don't really wear sunscreen. I never have. I just kind of get red, and then I go tan, and just all my life, I don't wear sunscreen. And she goes, you do now. And so I don't know if you're new in marriage, but let me just kind of quickly give you a marriage tip here for those that are newly married, for those of us that may be a little slower learners in the room when it comes to marriage. There's two things that men we ought to always do in our marriage. Number one is just say yes, ma'am, right? Just yes, ma'am. Give me the sunscreen. Here we go. And number two is just apologize. I mean, just as husbands, apologize. I don't know when the last time you showed up at home, but I would just encourage you maybe to do this tomorrow when you get home from work. Just walk in the door and say, hey, I'm sorry. And she might look at you going, what are you sorry for? I'm sorry for what I did or what I should have done, right? I mean, I'm sorry. And that will just revolutionize your marriage. Amen, ladies?
Amen.
Yeah, like, all right. And so when you stop and think about the sun and the sky, it brings blessings, but it also can bring curses on our lives. Skin unprotected from constant exposure can cause our skin to wrinkle. It causes damage. It can cause skin cancer. And notice what Malachi is saying. The sun who is to come. On the day of the Lord, there is blessings and there is also curses of destruction. The prophet Joel said it this way in Joel 2:11. The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful, for the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? And I love Joel's question, who can endure the day of the Lord? Who can stand at the day of the Lord? Who can be in the presence of Christ in the day of the Lord and it not be destruction for them? That's what Malachi says in verse 17. It's the one in whom the Lord remembers. It's the one in whom the wrath of God has been removed because your sin has been removed from you. That's what John writes in John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. For the believer, judgment's been removed from us. Romans 8:1, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul writes, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath of God. As believers in Jesus Christ, we say, come quickly, Lord. But in the same breath, we say, wait. For those that have been spared the wrath of God as believers in Christ, we know the day of the Lord is not a day destined of wrath for us. It's Christ who's taken that wrath on our behalf. But for many of us, we know that person that's not ready for the day of the Lord yet. So Malachi says the first group of people that are blessed are those who fear the Lord. Second group that are blessed are those who've been removed from the wrath of God. But let me give you the third as we wrap up. Those people that are blessed, the third group, are those who fear God and are healed by God. Those who are healed by God. Go back to verse 2 in Malachi 4. We read in that verse, but for those of you who fear the name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Verse 5, we're told that there is coming an Elijah-type figure. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Notice what he's going to do in his healing of relationships, in his reconciliation, in his restoration of people. He's going to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and hearts of children to their fathers. Who is Malachi talking about in verse 5? Who is this Elijah-type figure to come? Well, when you come into the Gospels, some thought it was John the Baptist. And there was those questions. Are you Elijah? Are you the Elijah-type figure that Malachi has been writing about? Because if you know anything of your church history and how things are going to work between the two testaments, is there's about to be 400 years of silence from God. 400 years of silence where there's no more prophet. There's no more word from the Lord. Why? Because this is a people that did not get what Malachi was saying. God gave them so many opportunities to get it right, and they would not move God from the second place or the third place in their life back to the first place. And God says, okay, then I'm going to stop talking for a while. You aren't listening. I'm going to shut down myself, and I'm just not going to talk to you. 400 years, no word, until John the Baptist shows up. He starts preaching a message of repentance, being the forerunner for the Messiah. And people kept coming to him, are you Elijah? Are you the one that Malachi is writing about? The prophet Malachi 400 years ago told us there's an Elijah-type figure to come. Is this now? Is this it? And John the Baptist is like, no. And we know it can't be John the Baptist because we know John the Baptist was martyred for his faith and then he did not have a resurrection. But we know who this Elijah type figure is. Malachi's pointing us to Christ. That this is Christ who came, who said, "My kingdom is now. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here." We know this is Jesus who died on a cross for our sin. It's Jesus who they put in a tomb. It's Jesus 3 days later rose from the grave, never to die again. It's Jesus who has ascended to heaven. It's Christ who's now waiting to come again. And so Malachi is running us to a prophecy yet to be fulfilled. This is a moment in time yet to happen. But we notice when he comes again, verse 2, there is healing. This son of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. It's in 1650 that Thomas Fuller, who is an English theologian, is credited with a phrase that is used in the movie Dark Knight Rises by Two-Face. But I want to make sure Thomas Fuller gets the proper credit and not Batman movie. But it's this, it's always the darkest before the dawn breaks. And it is dark in our culture. It is hard. And it may get darker. And it may get harder. And there may be more suffering. And there may be more hardship for us as believers in Christ Jesus. It may get darker and harder, but what is the good news of the gospel? The dawn will break. Christ is coming again. And when Christ comes again, for the believer in Christ, there is healing. No more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more evil, no more suffering. See, understand this morning, none of those things define who we are in Christ Jesus. Death does not define you. An illness does not define you. A disability does not define you. Hardship does not define you. Who defines you is Jesus. And Jesus says, "You are my son, you are my daughter, and I am your king, and I am the one bringing the healing." And what is our response? Our response is verse 2. We're like those calves who have been put away for the winter in the barn. And winter is done and it is springtime and we go out leaping in praise. That is who we are. And so this morning, when we talk about as a church, loving and leading all people to a new life with Christ, I want to remove the word "we" this morning. Because sometimes we can say, here as a church is what we want to do. And you can sit back and kind of check out and go, well, that's everybody else's responsibility, but not my responsibility. Your responsibility as a believer in Jesus Christ, given to you by God, is this: go make more disciples. And so this morning, let me personalize the mission of our church. How are you going to love and lead all people to a new life with Christ? This morning, you ask yourself that question: how am I making more disciples? How am I loving people and leading them to Jesus? How am I helping start new churches? How am I helping start new life groups? How am I praying for someone that doesn't know Christ? How am I inviting someone? How am I giving? How am I sharing the gospel? Why? Because the blessed life is for the one who fears the Lord. The blessed life is for the person that has the wrath of God removed. The blessed life is for the person who is going to receive the permanent, ultimate healing in Christ when he comes again. And so this morning, personalize the Great Commission in your life and ask yourself, how am I loving people and leading them to this good Jesus that I profess, that I know in my life? I'm going to invite you to bow your heads right where you are. You know, the Bible calls us just to pray in our own words, in our own way.
And so maybe you've never really prayed, or you say, I'm ready to place my faith in Christ, but I don't know what to say. Then I'm just going to pray a simple prayer that you can follow along with me right where you are. And it's God that knows your heart. And so you can simply just bow in prayer and say, Dear God, today I'm ready to place my faith and trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. You know, if you've prayed that prayer today, first and foremost, we are proud of you. We're excited that you're taking that step of faith. And we'd love to connect with you, follow up with you, and just cheer you on in your journey now with Christ. And so you can connect with us by going to heightschurch.org/connect. Click the decision tab. That's going to bring up a form for you to fill out. That's going to come right to me. And we're going to be in touch with you to see how we can come alongside of you and encourage you. If you're in our area, we'd love to connect with you in person on a Sunday morning. Our life groups are at 9 a.m. and our worship service starts at 10:30 a.m. So we hope to see you soon, and we hope you have a great week. God bless.